from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali at Manzanita Community School in Oakland, where teachers, parents, and even some kids are on the picket line on day one of a strike. The teachers' union and the Oakland Unified School District were not able to reach a deal yesterday, although teachers did gain some ground in their demands. We're going to hear from the head of the teachers' union in a moment, but first, here's Luz Chavez, who's out here serving coffee. She's a teacher at Manzanita, and I asked her how she thinks things are going this morning.
You know, we've definitely gotten a lot of our CTA members out here. We're getting parents coming in as we're getting later in the morning, and this is looking really good.
How confident are you that you're going to get what you want at the end of the day? Like, literally at the end of this day. Do you think this will drag on?
We're really hoping it won't. Our union has already gone back to the bargaining table with the district as of yesterday, so I know for a fact we're not going to get everything we're asking for, but I'm hoping that at some point we do come to some kind of agreement.
And we know the broad strokes of what the demands are. For you personally, what is demand number one? What is the one thing that you want the union to get?
Smaller class sizes. I mean, it really is a struggle to support that many students with only one person.
More than pay. That's more important to you than pay.
Yes. Like, we're not out here for the money. We're out here for our kids. And we've told them that multiple times as we've been talking about the strike with them throughout this week. Like, we're out here fighting for them.
I've also spoken this morning with Keith Brown, who heads the Oakland Education Association. That's the union. And I asked him how long he thinks the strike will last.
So we called an indefinite strike, and we will be back at the table tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. Our bargaining teams will meet with the district negotiators. So we really hope that the district negotiating team will see what's happening across the city, where the community wants a resolution to this.
And you got some concessions yesterday at the bargaining table with the district. They went from offering a 5% raise, I believe it was, to a 7% raise. Are you heartened by that movement?
So we finally got movement from the district. However, their proposal extends their compensation package from 3 years to 4 years. So when you really look at it, their living wage proposal does not address ending the teacher retention crisis. So that's our members seen the proposal. Our Oakland teachers rejected the proposal, and that's why we're on the lines today. And I hope that the district is seeing us and listening to us. And tomorrow they have an opportunity to end the teacher retention crisis.
That was Keith Brown, the president of the Oakland Education Association. You can find out more on the strike at kqed.org/Oakland Schools. We're going to stick with education now. Cases of teacher misconduct from across the state reached nearly 6,000 last year. That is the highest number in over a decade. KQED's Michelle Wiley has more.
Teacher misconduct cases come from a multitude of sources. Instructors can be reported for issues in the classroom, or something can show up during the process of applying for teaching credentials. Last year, the number of cases hit a record high, 5,895. Joshua Speaks is with the California Commission on Teacher Credentialing. He says that while these numbers are high, they're not unprecedented.
4 or 5 years ago, it would have been more like 5,500, something like that. And we've seen that number sort of gradually increase.
Speaks says it's possible that the increased number has come from social movements, like Me Too, which have made students more aware of behavior they should be reporting. Another reason? More people entering the education field.
As the teaching population itself is larger, there's more likelihood that we're going to see some sort of misconduct from the existing pool of teachers. And that can range from things like, you know, DUIs to, you know, more serious in-classroom misconduct.
The commission says these increases have not caused significant delays in completing investigations, but it is working in cooperation with the Attorney General's office to look at restructuring and pursuing staffing increases. For the California Report, I'm Michelle Wiley.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, providing customers a real-time dashboard view into all of their financial accounts with insight-driven wealth advisory services. PersonalCapital.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world. recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And finally today, in San Bernardino County, a conservative organization called the Freedom Foundation is canvassing outside government buildings, telling Inland Empire Teamsters Union members about their right to opt out of paying dues. KVCR's Benjamin Perper has more.
Last year, the Supreme Court issued a decision called Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, or AFSCME, which ruled that workers in public sector unions can opt out of paying union dues. The Freedom Foundation says it works to reverse what it calls the stranglehold government unions have on state and local policymaking. And in San Bernardino County, that's led to tensions with the local Teamsters Union in 1932.
The Supreme Court made it very clear in Janus v. AFSCME that this is a First Amendment issue.
That's Sam Coleman with the Freedom Foundation. His group filed a public records request with San Bernardino County and found that Teamsters president and county employee Kathleen Brennan had sent a message from her county email to her Teamsters email about the creation of a committee to counter the foundation's efforts.
It started back in October. We put out a story on our website saying that we were going to be ratcheting up canvassing government office buildings in Southern California and across California. And 6 days later, this committee, according to documents that we got from the county, was created.
I asked Brennan if such a committee existed.
No, that's not true. No, that was a homework assignment.
Brennan says the committee was just an exercise she had done for a class she was taking, and she happened to use her county email. According to Brennan, the union did not create an anti-Freedom Foundation committee.
Absolutely not. We don't need to.
Brennan says that since the Supreme Court ruling last year, less than 2% of her approximately 14,000 Teamsters union members have actually opted out. But she says the Freedom Foundation would like to see that number increased.
What their whole goal is to get everybody to opt out so that the unions, they will cease to exist.
Martha West, a professor of law at UC Davis, says the Teamsters would be within their legal rights to form a committee to counter the Freedom Foundation's efforts.
Keeping members in the union is part of union organizing.
For now, neither side is backing down. Sam Coleman with the Freedom Foundation says his group will continue to canvass in front of government buildings, and the Teamsters say they'll meet the anti-union group in the streets with the message that members pay their fair share. For the California Report, I'm Benjamin Perper in San Bernardino.
And that is the California Report for this Thursday, February 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali on location in Oakland. Have a great day, everyone.